Bibles to Colossians, the third chapter, Colossians chapter 3. Really appreciated the thoughts that were shared by Andy around the Lord's Supper there. The freedom that we've been given really is a gracious gift from God. I'm grateful and thankful to be living underneath the covenant of liberty, underneath the covenant of freedom as opposed to the covenant of law. God is looking for faith from us, and God has been looking for faith throughout the centuries, and it's actually really clear to us how we can have faith. And I'm thankful for the scriptures delineating that for us. But faith always exists in the realm of thoughtfulness. Faith doesn't exist in a realm of this is black and this is white. No, the truth of the gospel is black and white, but God expects, in fact, God requires us to engage our brain. He expects us to think about things like, is this the most effective thing to do? Is this becoming all things to all men so that I might by all means save some? Well, guess what? There's no black and white answer to that. So the law of liberty is designed to make you think. It's designed to make you engage the brain. It is not designed to tell you what to do. It's designed to tell you who to be. And so if we can get who to be straight, what to do becomes really clear. Okay. Now, does that mean that every situation is easy? No. You hit her out at all, things get sticky, right? And sometimes living by faith in the moment is really, really difficult because the individual situation is so sticky. Okay? But that's what ultimately results in victory. So I really appreciated those thoughts from Andy. Another thing, a little bit more lighthearted, you know, for some reason in my head, that old Spider-Man quote, with great power comes great responsibility, it always gets in my head for whatever reason, I remember it as with great freedom comes responsibility, right? Well, I think it's interesting there too, you know, you really don't have very much power if you don't have freedom, right? You can be the biggest, buffest guy in jail, but you don't have very many ways to exercise that power, right? And limited. Okay? But when you have freedom, with freedom comes real power, and with freedom comes great responsibility. And so, in Jesus Christ, it does, when we are engaging our brains, living by faith, living out the law of liberty on an individual basis and on a collective basis, while we are living that out, with that comes a lot of responsibility for you and I, where we are going to choose to be personally responsible, to take personal ownership. With great freedom comes great responsibility. Really appreciated those thoughts, Andy. Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you, with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another, with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your heart to God. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you. You know, it's one of the great 316s of the Bible. One of the things to remember and to notice is that chapters and verses are not inspired, right? They're added by men, and so there's nothing specifically, there's nothing inspired about where the chapters and the verses split. There are even some verses that in the middle, in the middle of the sentence, right? We've got a shift change from one verse to another. Sometimes with Paul's writing, you have to do that, okay? There's a number of different things that where the scriptures, the way the verses are laid out. But something that's kind of interesting is that there's a number of really pretty neat 316s. You know, of course, we're familiar with John 3:16, right? Colossians 3:16, 2 Timothy 3:16. There's some pretty neat 3:16s. Well, I hope that this is one of your favorite 3:16s by the time we get done talking here this afternoon. What is dwelling richly within? Well, what you put your mind on is that determines what your future actions will be. Where you set your mind is what is going to come out of your mouth that sets the motion for the rest of your life. So the question becomes, what's dwelling richly within? What's dwelling within your mind? What's dwelling within your heart? The exhortation from the scripture here says, let the word of Christ dwell richly within, or richly dwell within. Richly. Abundantly. What you have a lot of. Right? What do you have? That's what this is talking about. What do you have a lot of? Maybe some of you have a lot of money in your checking account. You're dwelling richly. Okay? I have a nephew, okay, that the word of Marvel and the recently deceased Stan Lee dwells richly within his mind. He has a copious amount of Marvel knowledge. And for those of you who don't know what I'm talking about when I say Marvel, it's the, you know, Spider-Man, the superheroes. I mean, he can tell you whatever you want to know and way more than you ever wished to about Marvel. It dwells richly within. Well, what is it that dwells richly within your mind? What dwells abundantly? What do you have a copious amount of information on? Because what we put in our mind is what is going to come out. Galatians chapter 6, verse 7 in particular, it says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. What a man sows, this he will also reap. This is a law, guys. What you sow, you will also reap. And yes, I mean you. You individually. What you sow is what you individually are going to reap. There are no exceptions for this. There's no preacher exception. There's no contractor exception. There's no business guy exception. What you sow, you will reap. Period. It's a law. It's something that works for Christians. It's something that works for non-Christians. What you put in your mind, okay, that's where you are going to head. What we put in comes out. If you sow to the flesh, you're going to reap to the flesh. This is true in every area. If we let the word of Christ dwell richly within us, we're going to receive. If we're going to sow to that, then we will reap to that. It's true in each place in our lives. Well, I'm going to pick on some. I told you guys in Sunday school that I was going to I was going to preach to the choir a little bit. So here's my preaching to the choir. And don't worry, sometimes the choir needs preached to. Okay, that's why the choir's there. Okay, but you know, I'm going to hit on a few things. And none of this is an attempt to put anybody under law. But what this is an attempt to do is to get you to personally think about the things that you are putting into your mind. Because again, with great freedom comes great what? Responsibility, right? And so, what do we watch on TV? Hey, if we sow to The Bachelor, why would you expect to reap fidelity and faithfulness in your marriage? Is that a fair question? I mean, I'm going to put this in, but I don't expect that to produce anything in my mind or in my heart, right? That's not the way this works, guys. What are we watching on TV? What are we playing in our video games? What are we listening to in our music? What types of podcasts are we listening to? If we sow to Grand Theft Auto, why would we expect our kids, or we allow our kids to sow to Grand Theft Auto, why would we expect our kids to grow up respecting women and being respectful of the law? I mean, that's kind of silly thinking, isn't it? Oh, well, I have the kids' exception. Because kids don't have impressionable minds. Okay, again, your family needs to make your own decisions according to the law of liberty, but sometimes these are things that we need to think about. Okay? If you sow to Katy Perry, or you sow to Five Finger Death Punch, what do you expect to reap? Okay? Some of the older people are like, what is he talking about? Don't look him up. Okay? So, the Beatles. Okay, that better? The Beatles and the Eagles, am I hitting a different demographic there? Okay, maybe I should know my audience a little bit better. Andy, do you know who Five Finger Death Punch is? Okay, I don't believe you. I actually know of one or two. Okay, funny story. I hate Five Finger Death Punch. Like, I used to, working at the warehouse, right? The alternative station is just on, which is way better than the country station, just my own personal opinion. But that's not doctrine I'm preaching right now. But Five Finger Death Punch would come on, and they do have a remake of one of the older songs that they would play over and over and over. But they are a band that I personally despise, so please don't play them in my presence, okay? I can't stand those guys. And it's close to my genre of music, too, so like I think they're terrible. But the point is, we'll get to a point, I promise, okay? The point is, are we examining what we're putting in? Are we passively accept, or do we think that somehow we're the exception? Oh, preacher, I can handle it, right? Again, I want you to be thoughtful. There are certain, is it true that there are temptations, areas of temptation that are stronger for you than are for me, and for me than there are for you? Absolutely, and we want to be mindful of that, okay? But the question really isn't a matter of liberty in this case. The question is, what do we want to be putting into our mind? Because that is what we are going to get out. That is the path that our life is going to take. We have an incredible amount of options in our consumption of media. An incredible amount. And that's not necessarily a curse. I think that that's a blessing to a large degree, okay? You guys already know that I am a total nerd, okay? But I'm going to give you more proof, okay? So one of my favorite podcasts in the world, okay, has to do with Austrian economics and about how Austrian economics specifically relates to dividend-paying whole life insurance. I love this podcast. It's great. Okay, I think it is incredibly interesting. I'm for real. If you want to know more about it, I will tell you more about it, no problem. Okay? I love it. You know what? If I would have lived 40 years ago, I would have never become aware of the concept that the podcast talks about, much less the technology of what a podcast is wasn't really mainstream until the past 4 or 5 years. But yet, on a every other week basis, into my feed, I get myself a podcast about Austrian economics and how that relates to dividend paying whole life insurance. It's beautiful. Okay? The point is that if there's a podcast about that, there's a podcast about anything. Anything that you want. Okay? Now, we don't live in a time anymore where there are 3 TV channels and whatever happens to be on the radio. This is not what we live in. But with that freedom opens up all sorts of options for good and for bad. Well, let's look at some of those good options. This sermon right now is being streamed on Facebook. Right now. Somebody, you know, you look and, you know, X number of people viewed this, so on and so forth. Right now, this is being streamed on Facebook. Somebody in India, somebody in Ghana, somebody in, you know, wherever can have access to this right now. Is that a good thing? See, technology itself is neutral, isn't it? Completely and totally neutral, just like culture is neutral. Okay, but there's good things in culture and there are bad things in culture. I don't even think Facebook had a live video feature even 5 years ago. I think even within the past 2 or 3 years that Facebook started to have a live video feature. 2 or 3 years, just like that, it changes. It's something pretty cool. Sermons in Wasion are captured on YouTube every assembly. Sermons, you can go Christchurch online.com, I think it is. You can click on the podcast. sermons from Bozeman, sermons from all over our movement, okay, are accessible basically the next day, sometimes the very day of. Okay, we can listen to lessons from preachers online all over the movement. The material from family camps, they're available. We have Lima Rally going back for, like, to at least 07, I think, on our website. It's there. It's accessible. We didn't have these tools even 20 years ago. They weren't there for us to be able to use, and now we have them. What are we going to let richly dwell within us? Let's look at the Bible. The Bible, in whatever version you desire, is available online. Whatever version you desire, it's there online for free, for sure online. Not only can you do that, whatever version you want, you can also download that to your phone, right? Even my phone, I can do that. Okay? Right? So, you can download whatever version you want to your phone. Sometimes you have a small fee, sometimes not. Okay? You certainly, anytime you can access the internet, Bible Gateway, Blue Letter Bible, a bunch of different ones, Bible Hub that people use, right there. Download something. Lots of really good versions you can download for free. Okay? Something else you can do. You can have the website or the downloaded version that you've put on your phone then read the Bible to you. Right? So, again, I remember, it's kind of funny, there's some things moving around in the building in Wauseon. And There's this group that rents from us, and they kind of, long story. They're moving, okay? And so they had a bunch of stuff. They're downgrading to a smaller space, okay? And they had a bunch of religious material that's like, hey, we don't have room for this stuff anymore. And one of the things that they had is they had the cassette versions of the NIV on tape, right? Now, those were super expensive when they first came out. I don't remember how much, but when they came out, when those cassette versions, like, probably at the time, there was probably close to $100, and there was like five of them to span the whole Bible. And now, I think I got an NAS, I don't know if I would have had to have paid for it or not, I looked for it, I couldn't find it for free. Okay, I got an NAS audio Bible for like $9.95. Now, how is that possible? Well, because technology has advanced, right? Instant download, there's no cost of cassettes or anything like that. And certainly, I mean, I cannot imagine having to fiddle with the tape player in my car when I'm getting to the end of the book. Are you serious? I mean, that's arcane, right? I mean, it is crazy. So, but this is all available to us. You can see the Greek just like this. Guys, what about music? There's positive music in whatever style, probably even country, or genre that you desire available. Okay? There's positive music available in whatever style that you want or desire. How cool is that? Growing up, which wasn't that long ago, by the way. I know that you, I probably don't have to remind you people, but I just had my 30th birthday, and the 30s definitely fit me better than the 20s did. But I had one of my fellowship kids, I was there at fellowship on my birthday, and one of the fellowship kids who's a senior in high school, he's 18, he came up to me, he's like, oh, hey, it's like, happy birthday. He's like, you know, I don't want to be offensive or anything like that. He said, but I can't believe, you're 30? He's like, I was like, yeah. He's like, I thought you were at least 40. You know, thanks, bud. Appreciate it. He's like, I thought, my mom's 40. You've got to be at least my mom's age. Okay. You know, I'll take it. I appreciate that. I've always kind of been an old soul. Okay. But not that long ago, one of the things that I personally was really blessed by is the fact that locally we had a positive, modern, Christian radio station. You guys all know what I mean when I say Christian. I'm not going to give you quotes every single time. They didn't teach the right doctrine, so on and so forth. But there was good, positive music that I was exposed to from about the age of 10, 11, 12 on, that I could discover music that wasn't what my parents enjoyed listening to, and it was on the radio. Right? Because what do you have available? 20 years ago, what did we have available? What was on the radio? Or your tape or CD, right? That's what you had available. And so how are you going to get exposure to new music? What's on the radio? That's how you get exposure to new music. And so I loved Yes FM to a fault, okay? I spent way too many nights listening for Yes FM, calling in multiple times. The radio DJs knew me by my voice. They sent me to Kings Island one time because I won the contest. I knew the day that I was eligible to win a contest again. I was obsessed with Yes FM. But I'm glad that that was there, because most teenagers, to some degree or another, like music, right? Music's powerful. Music speaks to us. Okay, well, it's really helpful to have positive stuff dwelling in your mind that is in a style that you can appreciate. I wasn't going to listen to K-Love, guys. Nothing wrong with K-Love. Probably most of you guys listen to K-Love. Something positive to listen to. Good. Okay, but at 13, I'm not listening to K-Love. Not happening. Okay? And so, but now, we don't have to worry about that. As far as what's available. See, Toledo was one of only about 25 markets that had a station like Yes FM. Think about that. 25 markets in the entire United States. Toledo's one of them that has a station like a Yes FM available, where they're playing music that like 13, 14, 15-year-old kids actually want to listen to, right? It was a blessing. Now there's, I don't know, I don't listen to a ton of music anymore, actually, if truth be told. But there's things like Pandora. There's another streaming service that I'm forgetting about. Somebody help me. Spotify, that was the one I was thinking of, right? And you can create your own playlists, right? Basically, it learns you, it learns the type of music that you, oh, man, positive music, just like that. You didn't have to happen to be in one of the 25 markets or so that had positive Christian music. Internet streaming didn't used to be a reality. Now we have access to all the positive Christian music in any genre we want. Again, I'm going to use, typically in my day-to-day, I use just positive music. Because, guys, if your determination whether something is Christian or not has to do with its label, you need to live by faith a little bit more. Okay? So, again, positive music. Positive music even can look different from me than it does from Bob to Dave, so on and so forth, right? Different things are getting communicated. And so we want to be aware of that as well. But the question is, what are we letting richly dwell within our hearts? It says, with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. See, our singing matters. I spent a lot of time on music there on purpose because music is powerful. And you ever get a song stuck in your head? I mean, Adam Roosh was about to kill me. A lot of you guys know Adam. Adam, he has a son in the Christian school. And we were talking about really annoying songs over Christmas. And I talked about how I hated I Want a Hippopotamus for Christmas. Like, I absolutely despise that song and want to claw my ears out whenever I hear it. But he was familiar with that song. But I was like, hey, have you ever heard the song Dominic the Donkey? And he hadn't. So I played the song Dominic the Donkey for young Mr. Roosh. And his father then got the privilege of also hearing that song. And I can't recommend you guys going and looking it up after assembly, because it will be stuck in your head and it's the dumbest, most annoying song you will ever hear in your life. But it gets stuck in my head, and all day, all day I have Dominic the donkey going through my head. The Italian Christmas donkey, by the way. I hate it. Absolutely hate it. Okay, but it gets stuck there, right? And basically, you gotta find another song to replace that song, or else all day long, you know, I'm making lunch, Dominic the Donkey. Oh, it's so annoying. Okay, well, the music really matters. But scripturally, our singing matters. See, it says, with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Okay, with thankfulness, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. See, this is a way to let the word of Christ dwell richly in our hearts, is through. I think God has purposefully made singing as powerful as it is, as music as powerful as it is. That's for our benefit. Matthew 26, verse 30. And after singing a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Now, what many of you are probably already going to be familiar with the context, but notice that this is Matthew 26, right? What just happened? The Last Supper just happened, right? They just participated in Passover, and Jesus now is going to go through an endurance trek. He is going to have to set his face, okay, set his jaw like flint till the end, steeling his spine, okay? That's the perspective that Jesus is going to have. And right before, what do? They sing a hymn together. They sing a hymn together. Huh, let's sing. Okay? What are they doing? They're letting the word of Christ dwell richly in their hearts. Jesus and the apostles sang a hymn. Guys, our singing on Lord's Day morning is not something that we do just to fill time as a transition between prayers, meditation, and preaching. Our songs really matter to God. They make a difference to God. God wants us to make a joyful noise. God is not rating us on quality of singing, thankfully. Okay? Because I would never be allowed to lead songs. Okay? Nope, Marshall can't lead songs. Okay? But what God is concerned with is he's concerned with our attitude in singing. He's concerned with our thankfulness in singing. He's concerned that we teach and admonish one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness. See, it's not just something that we do because, oh, well, it's the rite, it's the ritual, it's the thing that we do. No, it is much greater than that. Singing is how we teach and admonish one another. Singing with thankfulness. According to the New Testament, according to the New Covenant, isn't it true that each Christian is a priest? 1 Peter chapter 2. You know, looking at verse 9, it makes it clear that you're a royal priest, a holy nation. So you're a priest. What do priests do? Don't priests offer sacrifices? Okay, let's go to Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews 13, verse 15. Through him, then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of lips that give thanks to his name. We're priests. As spiritual priests, we offer sacrifices. One of the sacrifices that we bring forth is our praise to God. The fruit of our lips is what is one of the sacrifices that we are bringing to God. We continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. Now notice that word continually. We continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips. So what our lips do is our lips bring forth praise, and that ascends to God as a sacrifice. That's why our singing matters. It's a sacrifice to our God as His priests. We want to be faithful priests, don't we? And what's going to come out is the fruit of our lips, the sacrifice of praise. See, I want us to note two things. In the New Testament, there certainly was congregational singing, right? We're not going to go to 1 Corinthians. You can go there, but 1 Corinthians 14:26, you know, each one has a psalm. There's singing that went on as a congregation. It was one of the reasons why we practice congregational singing is because the New Testament practiced congregational singing. Singing is a way for us to teach and to admonish one another. We come here, one of the reasons that we come here is for teaching and admonishing. If one of our tools in that tool belt is to sing, shouldn't we use that tool? Another reason why we sing collectively. Okay, but this, in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 15, it says, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. Well, are we continually assembled together? Of course not. And so what God wants from us is praise from the fruit of our lips on a regular, continual basis. See, God has provided different forms and different types of music for us to be able to praise Him. We talked earlier, we all have different genres that we like and appreciate. Okay, personally, I really like the hymns for the assembly. I like the hymns for the assembly. Here's a couple reasons why. Number one, people know them. Okay? Number two, another reason why I like hymns for the assembly is that most of your hymns take you through a logical progression. Like, you actually get somewhere from verse 1 to verse 4 or verse 5 or whatever. If you notice, like, the words in a lot of these hymns, you actually are going somewhere. You know what? The modern praise choruses really don't have that. It's kind of like this circle thing that happens. I don't know, but there's not a progression that takes place. Okay? It encourages something else that the hymns do, because everybody knows them, it encourages participation. Okay? It's not just the band coming up here and playing something for us to enjoy and be entertained by. Our hymns require us to participate. And the more of us that participate, the better it sounds, right? But notice that it didn't just say hymns. It said psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Well, we need those things, don't we? You need to see the psalms. You need to see hymns. Those spiritual songs. It takes all different shapes and sizes and genres. Spiritual songs that are uplifting. God wants the fruit of our lips. We're a priest continually under the new covenant. When are we going to be offering the sacrifice of our lips? Continually, right? So it's not just a matter of, yeah, when we heard on an individual level with thankfulness. Guys, it is hard to be unhappy and to sing. It's tough. One of the things, I know I'm going, okay, I'm all right. One of the things that's kind of interesting, many of you know I take a trip to Montana with the kids to go out to youth camp. We've been doing that now for 6 or 7 years, at least. Maybe 8 years. Okay, take the kids out. Must be 8, going on 9. Take the kids out west. Now, that has grown and grown. And now we're taking a couple of 15 passenger vans and another vehicle last year. A lot of kids. And on the way out there with a couple of vans, it takes us at least 25 hours. But then from the place where we stop to the camp is a good another 4 hours. So the trip home is somewhere around, you know, if we made awesome time, it's like 28, 29 hours. If we made bad time, it's, you know, 31 hours, 32 hours. Is a long time. Okay, we drive her straight through. Now, if you guys have ever tried to do an extended road trip, okay, believe it or not, sometimes you can get on each other's nerves. I know that that's a little bit hard to believe. And not only can you sometimes get on your own family's nerves, like some of these kids are from different congregations, they don't even know each other, and sometimes they can get on one another's nerves, believe it or not, being kids and young and a week of camp, you know, they're not tired at all, you know, after a week of camp from getting up really early and staying up really late, and, you know, the younger ones, I make sure that they shower on Thursday. You know, there are some things that you have to be aware of. Now, one of the things that we have instituted before is that last hour is hard. That last hour to 2 hours, when we basically get on the east side of South Bend, okay, it is grind time, man. Because you can see home. It's there. And it feels like you should be there. But you really have about another 2 or 2.5 hours that you somehow got to put up with smelly feet and the same arguments and everybody's crabby. Everybody's crabby. See, one of the things that we've done before, okay, is last hour, we start singing camp songs, baby. Camp songs. And I am belting them out at the top of my lungs and encouraging everybody and their brother to join in. And we sing camp songs. Because you know what? It's really hard to be cranky when you're singing. Even when you've been driving for the past 30 hours and you've got smelly feet and some kid bought macaroni salad at your last rest stop and, like, you know, it's... Yeah, you sing, it's hard to have a bad attitude, even in those circumstances, okay, it's hard to fight, it's hard to bicker while singing. God wants to bring us together through song. Singing is extremely powerful. Ephesians chapter 9, that'd be a trick, wouldn't it? Ephesians chapter 5, I really am wrapping up here, I promise. Ephesians 5, verse 18. Do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord. Always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father, and be subject to one another in the fear of Christ. Okay, a way for us to be filled with the Spirit is to speak to one another in psalms, in hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with our heart to the Lord. See, singing is a way to be filled with the Spirit. Do we need that? Do you need that? Need to be filled with the Spirit. Well, singing is a way for us to be filled with the Spirit. See, you might need it like Paul and Silas needed it. We might be locked up in prison. You know what we're going to need? We're going to need some hymns that we all know. Sing them together. Maybe some camp songs. Sing them together. That's when we need those songs. You know when we might need them is when this is illegal. When we joke about the days where this was streamed live on Facebook. Okay, because what we're doing is illegal. Well, if what we're doing is illegal and we're trying to do this covertly because we're not stopping assembly when they make it illegal. Okay, when we're trying to do this covertly, how's it going to look if, you know, this is the guys that have songbooks? Yeah, those are the ones. Right? We're not all going to be hefting songbooks to whatever our secret location is. Come on, let's think about this for a second. Okay, so you know what you're going to need? You're going to need to have them in here. You're going to need to have them in here. It's funny, I obviously didn't tell Bob what songs to pick out. Bob picked out a song, I can't even remember what it's called right now. I hadn't heard that song probably in 15 years, the very first song that you picked out today. But you know what? It came back just like that. Like, oh yeah, that's what the tune is. That's how that goes. Did I try to do that? No. didn't try to do that. But right there, it's there. That's when we're going to need it, guys. When we got to come together and we just got to, you know, we just got to sing just over in the glory land together without us all looking into verses together. That's when we're going to need it. We're going to need it, be filled with the Spirit when we're locked up. You know when else we need it? We need it when we get the news that our mom got cancer. When our kid's sick. When you find out that there's been a car accident. You might need it when you're dealing with and fighting through personal battles of reprogramming the mind. That's when we need this stuff. See, we need to have the Word of Christ dwelling richly within. Because there's going to be times when life is in discord. Is our response, praise ye the Lord? I'm going to have some words to be able to express that praise to our Lord. And He wants us to, with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. He wants us to sing. Psalm 150, verse 1. Praise the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in His mighty expanse. Praise Him in His mighty deeds. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness. Praise Him with trumpet sound. Praise Him with harp and lyre. Praise Him with timbrel and dancing. Praise Him with stringed instruments and pipe. Praise Him with loud cymbals. Praise Him with resounding cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. The psalmist could make that statement living under the covenant that he lived under. We live under a covenant of freedom, living under the law of liberty. We are new creations in Jesus Christ. You think that we can find some time to praise the Creator of the new creation? Let's be filled with the Spirit.